Let us stand for the call to worship. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth, provider and sustainer, hear our prayer. Cleanse our hearts that we may approach you. Sharpen our minds that we may think your thoughts. Strengthen our wills for sacrifice and service, and we shall praise your holy and glorious name forever and ever. Amen. I believe the announcement was made last week concerning the death of the wife of one of our seminary graduates, but I would like for you to be reminded of that fact again and to encourage you to continue to remember in prayer Phil Crabtree and his family in the tragic loss of his wife on April 14th. Who was killed in an automobile accident. In the seminary family, three couples have been blessed with babies that have been born recently to Moses R. White and his wife on April 11th, a son, Jonathan Allen, a daughter to Mr. and Mrs. Tommy Neal on April 17th, and a son to Mr. and Mrs. Kenneth Bradshaw on April 18. These are the items which have come to our attention. There are many unspoken feelings, desires, and needs which we have in our hearts and which many members of our seminary family have. Let us now pray together. O Lord, we give thanks to you for keeping us in your care, for blessing us with your mercy, for supporting us in our sorrow, and for filling our hearts with true joy. We ask that you comfort those who are in great distress, and that you fill with new vision and new dedication those into whose homes new life has been born. Give to each of us a lively faith, and let your Holy Spirit guide us to a true understanding of your will. In spite of national pride and widespread hatred and hostility throughout the world, O God, let your peace come to the family of humanity. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we offer our prayer. Amen. The scripture that I wish to read this morning is taken from the Epistle to the Colossians, and I shall read from chapter 1, verse 24, down through the third verse of the second chapter. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the divine office which was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. For this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me. For I want you to know how greatly I strive for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged as they are knit together in love, to have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I call your attention especially to chapter 1, verse 27. To them, that is, to the saints, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our meditation today is not an exposition resulting from detailed exegetical work, although I hope that it would not be seriously contradicted through such detailed analysis of the Colossian letter and the other letters of Paul. It is instead what has been implied by a word which I have just used. It is a meditation. A highly personal meditation, a questioning about the meaning of the expression, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am concerned to try to say what seems to me to be so important about what some have called the Christ mysticism of Paul, so important that it cannot, should not, be neglected. In the first place, to be involved with Jesus Christ in the kind of intimacy about which the writer of this text speaks, to know him as the risen Lord who creates genuine life in us and moves us toward perfect humanity, will grant to us an unsettling self-perception. If we are truly apprehended by him, laid hold of by his power, we shall learn to measure ourselves by him. And in doing so, we shall find that he grants to us a clarity of understanding. And the product of such self-perception is a knowing of our sins and the sins of others. He will help us to see the web of deception that entangles us, our private flaws and our public failures, our secret individual pride and our corporate greed. The longer one lives, especially as one lives in Christ, the more one is enabled to see the tangled strands of human sinning entwined about the race so that there is virtually no escape from involvement with it in one way or another. And the more one cries from out of his or her inmost heart to be delivered from being smothered by the tragic flaw of Adam, the more one is helped by Christ to see the inevitable inrush of grace to cut away the tangle that we may experience forgiveness and stand upright at his side. In the second place, the glorious hope of Christ in us brings us to a peculiar gentleness to the place of the forgiving Spirit. Because of Adam's tragic flaw, here in this theological academy of learning, it seems to me that we are especially endangered by the tendency toward an adversary relationship in our community. It may take place between faculty and students, between students and administration, between administration and faculty. In all connections in which special prerogatives and authority are involved, we are faced with such a danger. But partnership in Christ and Christ in us, rightly known, graces our days with good-humored collegiality, hesitancy to be offended, readiness to forgive, and quickness to forget. Through him who loves us so unimaginably, we are led to a gentleness and quietness of spirit, the kindness of which is a foretaste of heaven itself. In the third place, this glorious Christ, who condescends to shed his glory to live with us, produces reverence, a holy fear. It is, of course, not a servile, paralyzing fear of the central self worrying about its own safety, but it is the dumb silence of the beholder who considers the wonders of God's creation and the majesty of his redemption. It seems to me that through Christ we ought to be enabled to stand in reverence before the complexity of the single living cell, the mysteries of infinitesimally small matter, the infinitely crushing gravity of black holes, the unimaginable heat of the heart of the sun, the power of exploding stars, the far reaches of space, the unbelievable extension of time, the beauty of the human body, the mysteries of the mind and the personality, and of the God before, the God above, the God behind, the God beneath, the God beyond, the God in, the God through, and the God after it all. Of course, affirmations of a similar sort might be made by people out of other religious traditions, but I can speak only of that which I know from personal acquaintance. And I come out of one tradition, and it is Christ who has granted to me whatever consciousness of God I have. And because of Him, my perception of God as Creator and God as Redeemer is forever shaped and formed. And therefore, I can exult with Paul when he writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." In the fourth place, Christ in you, the hope of glory, gives peace. If chaos was the condition of primordial matter, it appears now to be encased in human skulls. If a true confession of identity could be made, many would say with the demoniac, "My name is Legion, for we are many." It is not my intention simply to talk about mental illness or emotional distress, and I refuse to be caught in the trap of a naive religiosity which claims a simple cure for such distress. And yet, at the same time, there is legitimacy in the observation that so much personal distress has its roots in what is really a dilemma of the spirit: moral confusion, crippling guilt, a lack of love, the loss of meaning, the absence of God in one's life. In my experience, the one great integrative power has been the Christ who first intensively made Himself present to me 40 years ago and has disclosed His grace, His favor, His forgiveness, His love, and His peace in thousands of ways. In the ups and downs, the successes and the failures, the pleasure and pain, the joy and the sorrow of these years, in the eyes of a beloved one, in the faces of children, in the kindness of ministers, in the silvery hair of those heavy with years, in the words of teachers, in the excitement of students, at the moment of birth, at the time of dying, in prayer spoken and unspoken, in the songs of faith, in the words of Scripture, in the ecstasy of worship, Christ alive and Christ risen has been with me. This peace which God gives through Christ in us, keeping, guarding, protecting our hearts and minds, is the very ground of our ministry as makers of peace on every personal and social level. The gift is at once the demand. And I'm sure that you know what I mean, for you and I are not blessed to be lost in a trance. We are reconciled in order that we may become ambassadors of the peace of God, which, even when known, is beyond our capacity to know. There is probably infinitely more that could be said about God's unveiled mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But today, let us try at least to have a fresh apprehension of these four: honesty in self-perception, a peculiar gentleness, a great reverence for God, and unbelievable peace. Let us stand for the benediction. May the grace of God uphold you, the love of God surround you, and the peace of God attend you in all your ways.